really just a day of celebration and worshiping the Lord, and not too long the worship team will be coming back up and we'll be singing praises to God again for what he's done. And let's finish up Romans chapter 5. Would you turn in Romans chapter 5 and look at it with me? And we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 21. And these are the last section that we have here in the book of Romans. Any passage of scripture could take us years to complete if we were to do everything that and preach everything in it, and that's not possible to do no matter who we are. And so it's exciting to be able to go through it and glean from it in a sermon, but you can go and read it personally and God will show you other things or more things or reemphasize something to you and I as we study his word. And so it's so rich. And so as we look at these verses, just ask God to speak to you and let it be part of the worship that you give him when we step into our communion time and singing and worshiping him more for what he's done. Let's read verses 12 through 21. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For in sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Rich passages. As we have been studying in Romans, it's all like that. This passage, these verses from 12 to 21, Paul introduces for us a contrast between two representative humans. So one of them is a transgressor, a trespasser, a disobedient sinner. You can find all three of those things in these verses talking about one of them. And one of them, the other one, is obedient and righteous. And so who are they? It's Adam, the first created man, and Christ, what we'll find out today, is called in Scripture the last man. Verse 17 puts both of them in one verse. For if, because of one man's trespass, that's Adam, death reigned through that one man, Adam, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And both of them are laid out there, even though Adam is not named. That's who he's talking about. In verse 14, it says that Adam is a type of the one who is to come. The one who was to come is Christ, and so Paul is saying that Adam and Christ are in some way like one another. There's similarities between them. Both of them are representative of humans, of all humans, in some way. So the Apostle Paul also wrote the letter to the church in Corinth, and he wrote this letter to Romans. It's helpful for us to understand what he had previously written to the church in Corinth. So would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll look at verses 44 through 49. This is another location where Paul has used this kind of language, and it's clarifying for us and helpful. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44 through 49, and I'll start about halfway through verse 44. It's actually the last little sentence in it. So verse 44 at the end, if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, there we have that, you see that? The first man, Adam, became a living being. And that's a quote from the Old Testament talking about how Adam was created from the dust of the ground. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and thus he became a living being, okay? So we can see that. And then the last Adam, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:45, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. So Adam, the natural man, a physical man created by God, came first, and the spiritual man, Christ, came second. The first man was from the earth, literally, right? The dust of the ground, he was formed by God. A man of dust, it says. The second man is from heaven. This is why Jesus was accurate and right on when he says in the book of John that, you know, I am the bread of life. I came down from heaven. We're preparing to have a celebration of communion where we have the bread, which represents the body of Jesus, and the cup, which represents his blood, which was shed for us. And that's what Jesus said to them. He said, I am the bread of life. I've come down out from heaven, and my body is to give life to the world. What kind of life? Spiritual life, right? Verse 48, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. In other words, Adam was a natural, physical, created man, and like him, we are physical and created by God. And as is the man of heaven, Christ, so also are those who are of heaven, those who believe in him, those who have been born again, born not naturally, right, but born spiritually. That's what the words born again teach us from the word. And we're talking about being born into a spiritual birth. Verse 49, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. If you'd keep your finger in that text and also flip back to Romans chapter 5. We saw from that text that Adam is the natural man from the earth. Christ is the spiritual man from heaven. One of them trespassed. Literally, trespass means to take a false step. It means literally a misdeed. It means a fault. That word in the Greek means transgression. It means a deviation from truth and uprightness. Aren't those definitions helpful when we look at the word trespass? Let me read them again. A false step, misdeed, a fault, transgression, a deviation from truth and uprightness, and you could add a word, sin. You know, in our world today, people have been wanting to get rid of those kinds of ideas, right? Churches oftentimes won't bring up the idea of sin. Some false teachers out there don't believe that we that's our condition, or they believe something about it that's an error. It needs to be talked about because we are in the same situation that Adam was in when he stepped over God's boundary of righteousness. He trespassed into an area where God told him not to go. And that's really clarifying for us for a lot of the things that happen in our world and are happening, behavior that is being condoned in our world, right? Stepping over a boundary, and because of it, sin came into the world through that one man, Adam. And in that way, he is our representative. There's a lot of things there we could think about. We won't go into today. You might say, well, Eve took it first. It's really the women's fault. That would be misinformed because it would show that you don't understand God's authority structure, the way that he has made the world. And not only that, but Adam was with her when she ate of the fruit, and he didn't exercise his authority and stop that from happening, correct? It's his responsibility. Sin came into the world, and in that way, Adam is the representative for all humans. Even if they were born 2,000, 4,000 years later than Adam lived. It's a deep subject. There's room for a lot of learning in that, and I would encourage you to study it deeply. So even though Adam was our representative, still all humans sinned. Think of it this way. Adam trespassed one time and brought sin into the world, making all humans sinners. And that actually is the language that's used in this text, is that we were made sinners. Incredible study there, which actually corresponds with the fact that we were made righteous. Very interesting study, and I'd encourage you to study that. But Adam trespassed one time, brought sin into the world, making all humans sinners, and yet every human since has also stepped over the boundary repeatedly, being trespassers themselves, transgressors, sinners. Unrighteous. So one trespassed, one man, but the other one in this section of Scripture obeyed. Christ obeyed. He lived on the earth as a human for 33 years and never once trespassed. Never once transgressed, never sinned, never stepped over the boundary of righteousness given by God. And he was fully human. He didn't have a misstep. There was no deviation from the truth. Christ fully obeyed. God put Jesus Christ forward then. He put him forth. Remember that language from our first part of Romans, as we looked at that, God put him forth for sinful humans as a sacrifice for their sins. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion, is because there was no way for us to cleanse ourselves. We can't make ourselves clean. And so since we had no way to make ourselves clean, God's wrath is against us, and we will be destroyed by his wrath. But God put forth Christ as a propitiation for our sins. He set Christ forward to say the death of Christ, who's a sinless, perfect man and God, that sacrifice will be for the sins of the whole world, so that all who believe or put their trust in him will be made righteous. And so in that way, Christ is our representative as well. So we're represented by the first man, Adam, And we're also represented by the second man, Christ, if we've put faith in him, because he is not our representative if we don't put our faith in him. If we don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is who he says he is, that he died the way that he said he did, that he rose from the dead, if we don't believe that, then he is not our representative. We do not have spiritual life. Adam is our only representative in mankind, and we are sinners under the wrath of God. So God put forth Christ. The news is amazing. And Christ is our representative. And all those who receive his gift, because it is a gift, it's not earned, it's not possible to be earned. All who receive his gift of grace are made righteous and justified. Scripture literally says that. 1 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him, Jesus. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, perfect, right? To become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It doesn't get clearer than that. Although there are many other ways to say it that might help our understanding and help us to grasp it more deeply. And not just to grasp it and say, oh, that's nice, and go and, you know, it's time for lunch. But rather to say, oh, Lord, thank you. I worship you. I give you all of me. I'm yours. I want everything that you have to give, and I want more. I want to walk in your ways because they're so much better than sinful ways and the ways of mankind and the thoughts. I want to be pleasing to you, and I want to enjoy you in your presence, and I want to know that goodness that you take my face in your hands and you say, I will never stop showing you good. And that you're able to make all things turn out for good. Even the things that we would think are horrible. And it evokes in us a response of worship, of obedience, of commitment to him. It deepens our faith so we can say no to sin, which has nothing for us except death, where we can actually say no to sin, turn away from it, and walk towards him. This is an idea of repentance I've recently been thinking about. Someone said this, and it jogged my thinking. Repentance is not just a turning away from sin. But repentance, when we talk about it being a 180-degree turn, right? If we're walking towards sin and we repent, we turn 180 degrees and we're going the other way. Now, the most important part of repentance is what we're going after, right? We're going after him, and we get him. He gives us his help. He gives us his spirit right now, puts his spirit into us and lives in us. Jesus said that my Father and I will come and make our home in you, that he would never leave us, and that at every circumstance, every situation of every day, he would be with us and in us, and he'd help us. And then he gave us very great and precious promises. And so guess what? We get him. So unbelief and a lack of faith would be to say, no, I think I'd rather have meth. I think I'd rather have sugar. I think I'd rather have lies. You see? This becomes more and more so increasingly abhorrent to us. And this himself becomes more and more increasingly enjoyable to us and worth it, even when we have to say no to our flesh, even when we have to fight against temptations or take on the attacks of people who are unjustly accusing us. All that doesn't matter if we have him. Do you see it? So repentance isn't just turning away from sin, but it's turning to Him. We get Him. So Paul contrasts it, and you can see it in the verses. I'll put it up on the screen for you. I'll just flip through them so they'll all be up there. Look at the contrast. You can see the verses that are up on the screen. There's one man, Adam, and under Adam, verse 15, one man's trespass caused many to die. Many, death came, right? Verse 16, one man, Adam, received judgment and condemnation. Verse 17, through one man's trespass, death reigned in all. In other words, that's why you should not celebrate communion if you do not put your trust in Him. Because the ruler of your life is not grace and righteousness in Christ. The ruler of your life is death. And you have no right to partake in communion. But to those who are, someone quote John 1:12 for me. But as many as received them, to him he gave the right to be called the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Yeah, that's the people who take communion. All right? And if your child isn't old enough to grasp that and understand that, have them wait until you have a confidence as their parents that they get it, that they understand what it means, that you've explained it to them, that there's a personal decision. So it's better if they're older when they've understood it. And as parents, you need to make those that differentiation. The next section on the bottom is one man, Christ. Look at the contrasts. Verse 15, one man's grace by the gift of grace came righteousness to many. Okay? It's just good news all the way down this side of the contrast. Through the one man, Christ, many trespasses, all of the trespasses that those who believe in him have committed, he's given the gift of justifying them before him, making us right before him. Through the one man, Christ Jesus, believers reign in life, like R-E-I-G-N. So life reigns, not death, but life reigns. And through that one man's act of righteousness, verse 18, justification is offered to all men. Now, does that mean that all men have it? There are some who believe that there's universal salvation, that God has saved all men through his death, and that there's no need to be concerned about anyone going to hell. They'll often talk about there not being wrath anymore. Okay, but in reality, the gift of this one act of righteousness is given to those who believe. The one man, Christ, in his obedience, you can see what the words are there up on the screen. It says, many were constituted righteous. They were made righteous. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. And then the one man, Christ, makes it so that grace reigns in our life. We live in a land of grace, a place where God gives us all the grace we need, and he lavishes it. He fills us up completely, and then he keeps pouring. Okay? And it spills out. It goes over onto those around us. Okay, so I just want to lead us into communion by looking at verses 17 through 21. And we'll just look at them individually, and I'll just put them up on the screen. Here's verse 17. It's a synopsis of what he's already said. Do you see it? It's a way of saying what he's already said. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more, so exceedingly above that, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace, do you see? Much more abundance, lavish, like I just said. And the free gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Just that is an excellent synopsis. That's a really good one to put on your refrigerator. That's one to say, I'm going to memorize it in the month of November. Here's verse 18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Beautiful. Don't you love that? Verse 19. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, there it is, were made sinners. Study that word. If you want to do a word study, pick up the word made, look in a Strong's concordance and see what you can learn about the word made. We're made righteous because it's the same word when it talks about the other side. So by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. God's actions here are evident. It's God acting. Okay, I had you keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 15, and we're stepping into communion time now. And so I'd like you to apply these things to your heart. If you're here and you've never said, I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. I want you in my life, Lord. I give myself to you. I trust you. If you've never said that, then you're not able to take communion, honestly. In fact, it could have a deleterious effect on you if you do. That's actually teaching from Scripture. But if you don't know him, you can know him. And so this would be an awesome point to take that action, that step of faith, to put your trust in him, okay? And so apply these things. If this is becoming more and more significant to you and you're realizing, oh, wow, I live in grace all the time because, yeah, I've turned away from sin and I'm walking towards him and I want more of him. I don't have enough and I don't feel like I'm good enough. So I'm going to sit down and listen to him today and tell me what he did, have him tell me what he did for me. And I'm going to read the word and I'm going to eat it. I'm going to take his words like they were a meal, and I'm going to eat them. Because that's really what it's like. He's satisfying. So this is the time for this, okay? Apply it to you. And I want to give you an application from 1 Corinthians 15. So turn back there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. This is after the verses we read earlier. Glance back up at those. You can see verses 44 through 49 we read, right? And so this is the application kind of point Paul makes in verse 50. He says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If you are of Adam only, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Not possible. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. If you want eternal life with him, you can't get it by following the ways of man, by following the ways of Adam. The idea is that you must be spiritual in order to inherit what is imperishable. And in Christ, you can be made spiritual, eternal, and righteous before God. So, the response is helped then by verse 20. I'll put verse 20 up on the screen. Back in Romans 5. Our response is helped by this, isn't it? If we're believers. Don't you love it? Now the law came in to increase the trespass. So in other words, the law helps us to see how much we are sinners. Right? But where sin increased, what happened to grace? When sin increases, what happens to grace? It abounds. It increases all the more. Woohoo! This is a celebration. As sin increases, grace increases more. All your sins are covered. Nothing will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And what does verse 21 say? So that as sin reigned in death, grace might also reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is an eternal life with no suffering, with no pain. Everything will be made right all of the unjust things will have been rightly dealt with. God's wrath will have been dispensed, and you will get to enjoy him. And everything that he provides, which is amazing, it's not just sitting on a cloud playing your harp. Speaking of that, could I have the worship team come back up? It's not sitting on a cloud playing a harp. Do you know that Scripture says, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore? And if the pleasures that we have on this earth, and I would say righteous pleasures, if the righteous pleasures we have on this earth are fallen and broken, don't you want to enjoy pleasures with him forevermore that are not fallen and that are completely righteous and not broken? Say yes. Huh, man, yeah? Wow. And so he has made a way for us to be with him forever. And so I would have some of the leaders come up, and if you would pass some of the elements around for us so that we can enjoy and worship. And you know what? You could, if you've never put your faith in Christ, you could do that right now before these guys get to you. Before they hand you the plate, you could confess your sin to the Lord, and you could confess your belief in him. Because Romans 10:9-10 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So do that right now and celebrate with us this amazing sacrifice. What's the bread that we're passing out here? It's a wafer. It's unleavened. It doesn't have any leaven in it. That's an Old Testament picture. Leaven is about, in the Old Testament, sin, right? And so they removed leaven as a picture that we want to have sin removed, and it washes us white as snow, which the Lord reminds us when he gives us snow. Then he covers things with white, right? Our sins are like scarlet, and we're washed white as snow. Because of his blood, it cleanses us. And so this wafer, this bread we're passing out reminds us that Jesus' body was given for us, broken for us. He gave the bread and said, this is my body, which I give for the life, spiritual life of the world. And he held it up and he blessed it, thanked God, and he willingly had his body be broken for you. And then we'll pass out the cup of juice, which reminds us of his blood, which was the payment for your sin. A payment for mine. Wow. So it evokes in us worship and praise, and we say thank you, and we're filled with joy, and we're changed, and we're renewed. And we are resolved more and more to say no to sin and yes to him. So would you do that right now and ask him to cleanse you beyond what you even know? Confess to him before you take a bite. Confess to him sin. Confess sin to him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confess. They're going to pass out the cup now. And you'll have both of them in your hands. And we'll sing a song. And then after that song, we'll partake in these. And then we'll sing a song of worship to end. But do your business with the Lord. Talk to him. Confess to him. Ask him to help you keep from trespassing this afternoon. Tomorrow. Ask him to help you by breaking the power of sin in your life. He will. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We want to give you praise and worship you in holiness and in righteousness. Thank you that you have made us righteous if we confess belief in you. So now, put your finger on our hearts. If there's something we need to confess to you, an attitude or words or actions that we've done that we know are unrighteous and have been a trespass against you or against someone else. And so hear our confession, Lord, and take it and help us to know that you have cleansed us there in that because of the death of your Son, our advocate, Jesus, who gave his body and shed his blood so that we could be right with you, we could be forgiven, we could be justified. We just give you praise. And we're going to sing a song now, Lord, before we eat of this and ask for you to speak to us in this. So, in an attitude of prayer, let's sing this together. You can stay seated as we sing this.
Streams are